And now God has something to say. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?"
Sitting in class one day while I was in seminary, I found myself ready to just let one of my classmates have it. That shouldn't surprise you at all. During our supervised year at seminary, we're required to meet with a group made up of several other seminary students in their supervised year and an ordained clergy person who is the facilitator of the group. This group or meeting is called a theological reflection group. So I'm sitting in my theological reflection group, and one of my classmates opens his mouth to speak, yeah, I did say it that way, and makes a statement that offended and astounded me. We are sitting in class theologically reflecting on our week. Where did we experience and see God in our classwork and in our service to the church, etc.? And this one classmate begins to share what a tough week he has had. Well, actually, he'd been having a very tough time the whole time he'd been serving a small disciples church that's located many miles away from Fort Worth. He let us know that we couldn't possibly understand the hardships he had endured. Low pay, members who didn't want to do anything, low attendance on Sundays. So he had decided that he wasn't going to pay the money he owed the IRS because of the difficulties he was having. I know. That statement right there should have bothered me, but that's not the statement that made my blood boil. No, this classmate went on and on about all of the bad things that were in his life, and every one of the bad things were somehow caused by the church that he served. So after about 5 minutes of his complaining, he suddenly stops. He looks at each one of us, and he says, "Now I know what it feels like to be Jesus on the cross." Well, that sent me over the edge. And in no uncertain terms, I let him know that he, in fact, did not know what it feels like to be Jesus on the cross. Can you imagine anyone who is employed, has clothes, has food, has a home, is alive, saying that he or she knows what it feels like to be Jesus on the cross? My classmates and I asked him how he could possibly know what it felt like to be nailed to a cross and deserted by those who once believed in him. And he said, "Well, we all have our cross to bear, and so I now know what it feels like." I can't even begin to describe to you how offended my classmates and I were at his thought process. None of us gathered in that classroom, and none of us gathered here today know what it feels like to be Jesus on the cross. Granted, in the text we read and in similar texts in Mark and Luke, there is something about us taking up the cross. In Matthew, Jesus tells us, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me," as Val read. In Mark, Jesus also says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says to us, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Daily, we're to take up the cross. And later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the crowds, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Oh. Obviously, Jesus wants us to know that he expects us to take up our own cross and maybe take it up daily or just carry the cross. It's a little confusing. Are we to take up our own cross or any cross or Jesus' cross? According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is in some way standing before us all saying, "Take up your cross." So maybe my classmate knew a little bit about what he was talking about. I just have to believe, though, that there's more to taking up the cross than having a bad day or a bad year. What is happening in this point in Matthew? Why is Jesus saying this? Well, before this text, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples say, "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Jesus then asks, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." I mean, this is a big moment. Peter has just made the confession of faith. But in just a few verses after that, Jesus begins talking about things that just don't fit being the Messiah. The Son of Man, the Messiah, must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Remember what Peter does then? He takes Jesus aside and rebukes Jesus. But Jesus then rebukes Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." It is at this point that Jesus tells his disciples what it takes to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will save it. Something has gone wrong here. Peter makes an incredible confession, and that is a Mardi Gras band, king cake worthy moment. Trumpets should blare, everyone should be dancing in the streets, the doubloons and the beads should be flying through the air. But then Jesus begins to tell the disciples what it means to be the Messiah, and Peter doesn't like it. We don't like it. This is not the idea that people have in mind of following the most powerful person on the earth. On top of that, we have to do some things. Deny ourselves and lose our lives. Just what does it mean to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah and follow him? Are we following in the right way? It may be a more pressing question. After hearing about the suffering, rejection, and killing, do we really want to take up the cross and follow Jesus? He's told us he's going to be killed. Do we really want to take up a cross and follow Jesus? He isn't going to let us define what it means for him to be the Messiah. Do we really want to take up that cross? We must deny self. Come on, it's Mardi Gras. Take up a cross and follow him. Not lead him, not tell the Messiah what it means to be the Messiah, not make him out to what we want the Messiah to be. We must go behind him and follow him all the way to the cross. This is where it gets a little uncomfortable, right? We know the joy of life in Christ. We know the joy we share together. We know the fellowship and fun that we find within a community of faith. We're kind of like Peter. This is great, Jesus. We're having a great time. We believe you're the one. This is great walking around from city to city and having crowds follow us, riding in the Mardi Gras parades. We are popular and everybody wants to be a part of our crowd. But just like Peter, we don't want to hear the real stuff. I don't want to know that to be a follower of Christ, I have to deny myself anything. Just like Peter, I would want to pull Jesus aside and say, "Wait 1 minute. Life is supposed to be good when the Messiah comes. We're supposed to be blessed with riches and power and only good things when the Messiah comes. Why does Jesus want to talk of being killed and tell us that we have to deny ourselves and take up a cross?" A cross. That's how they kill criminals. If we are honest, we want to be successful, happy, and gratified, and surely I'm not the only one that feels that way in this room. We don't want to pick up a cross and follow Jesus all the way to the cross. We want for ourselves, and we want whatever the world tells us we want. It's all about me and what I want. That is the world in which we live. And we take that to our relationship with God and with Jesus. We want God to do what we want God to do. And that's been true since the beginning of time. We have no problem proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, just like Peter. And then all of a sudden, Jesus' voice breaks into this world and speaks about what it means to follow him. And there isn't one word about our riches. There isn't one word about the power we will have. Instead, Jesus said, "It isn't about you at all." In fact, you need to put your will and your agenda aside. To follow me means to follow me to the cross. It means that you lose your life to save it. Well, that's about the worst pep talk I have heard from someone wanting to get followers. We need people to serve on the ministries of the church, but this isn't about you. In fact, you will suffer, and this could take you all the way to the cross like a criminal. I don't think we would get very many people wanting to serve or wanting to be a part of this church. But Jesus isn't solely interested in having followers. Jesus was set on following God and doing God's will, and if that meant that he was at odds with the religious leaders of the day, then that was part of being the Messiah. If that meant that soon people would want him dead, then that was part of being the Messiah. If that meant that telling his disciples in the crowd that to follow him meant to follow him completely, then that is what Jesus did. I wish I could sit with my classmate and have the cross conversation all over again. My problem was his choice of words. I'd like to tell him that if he had only told us about serving God by following Jesus means that there are hardships involved, we probably would have realized that he had picked up the cross along the way. This is what Jesus wants us to know, after all. It isn't about, look at me, I can carry a cross. It isn't about, look at me and all of my trials and tribulations. Can't you see that I've taken up my cross? It's about, look to Jesus and follow him to the cross and all. So the joyful Mardi Gras Sunday message is, look to Jesus and take up your cross. It isn't easy. It doesn't fit the norms of the world. It isn't even a step in the steps to being a highly successful person. Jesus tells us that in the eyes of the world, we might be anything but successful. Look at Jesus. He hung out with sinners. He touched unclean people. He spoke the truth even when no one wanted to hear it. Yet in taking up our cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, and following him, we will live lives filled with compassion, love, grace, mercy, and hope. It isn't about you, and it isn't about me, and it isn't even about who can carry the biggest cross. It's about living with God at the center of our lives, and as Christians, following Jesus Christ, cross and all, so that all may know of the love and grace of God. That is worth a Mardi Gras party. Amen.